So, yes, I hear voices. Do you? And, right away, I'm going to be considered a little bit crazy here today because I just said that. But it's about voices. It is about voices today. And it is about the voices that we hear and the voices that we should try to see, to hear, and understand. Let him who hears, hear. Now, I gave this exhortation at JW's, on the Sunday of JW, after JW's service, because the question came up, why did JW have to die? Could not the Father have healed him? Now, this is normal. It's a normal way to think, especially in a time of tragedy. And sometimes we begin to think God to be unjust or unfair. Consider what Paul says to the Romans, Romans chapter 9, verses 7 through 13. Not all children of Abraham, because they are his descendants, blank, 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 but through Isaac shall your descendants be named. Verse 9. For this is what the promise said. About this time I will return and Sarah shall have a son. Consider also, when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac. Verse 11, though they were not yet born and had done nothing good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of the, she was told, the elder will serve the younger. Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. Thus we might think this is not fair, especially Esau. Is there injustice on God's part? By no means, the Apostle Paul says. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So it depends not upon man's will or exertion, but upon God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I have raised you up for the very purpose of showing my power in you, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy upon whomever he wills, and he hardens the heart of whomever he wills. Thus we, as the voices of clay, may say, well, that's not fair. If he hardens my heart, and yet blesses another person's heart, just because he wants to, then it's not fair or right. Well, guess what? Paul, in writing to the Romans, anticipated that very response and attitude. You will say to me then, well, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? Paul's response is, but who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to the molder, why are you making me thus? This is the voice of the clay. This is the attitude that the world screams at us daily. Hear the voices of the clay. Hear our voices. Be true to yourself. Embrace who you are. Fulfill your life. Tell your story. Leave your legacy. Be a harlot. Be a streetwalker. Embrace your own sexual orientation. Come out and declare who you are. Say to the world, I am what I am. Accept me for who I am, or I'll sue you. I'll do it my way, even if you think it's evil. That's the voices we hear. Not making a judgment about whether they're right or wrong. That's what we hear. Romans 9:21. Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of it the same lump, one vessel for beauty and another for menial use? Now, before I go on, I want you to think for a moment about a potter who's making a clay pot or a cup or whatever. Each cup that that potter makes is unique. No two are ever the same. As much as we try to automate everything in our society, I bet you I could find in every single piece that's made by a production line something different, something unique. The Father is making each one of us in a unique way. There is a character inside of us that he's trying to develop. He's not trying to change that character. He's trying to develop it. He is trying to preserve who you are, just as much as he preserves his name, I am who I am. He's not trying to change that. But he is trying to mold you in a way that's a little bit different, that reflects him and his glory. So now let's go on. The Apostle Paul continues in verse 22 of chapter 9 of Romans. Well, what if God, desiring to show his wrath, to make known his power, has endured with much patience the vessels of wrath made for destruction? Verse 23, in order to make known the riches of his glory for the vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Even us, verse 24, whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. Now the Apostle Paul, for your purpose, we won't go to them because it will be too long. Hosea chapter 2, 21 through 23, if you want to take notes. And Hosea 1, verse 10. Make reference to the Gentile participation. The Apostle Paul is not telling us that God is allowing suffering and pain, death and violence, so that we may have the opportunity to become children of God. But is simply proposing it as a question and a possible, plausible answer. But it is not the complete picture. I believe that in order to clearly hear the voices of the clay and the voices of wisdom which come from the Word of God, we will need to examine a scene in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ where these voices are heard. And for the sake of not prolonging this exhortation, I will outline the voices for you. I'll allow you to read along, follow along, okay? It's John chapter 11. So that's where we're going to be most of the time. And I've outlined it in terms of the voice of wisdom, the event, and the voices of the clay. So sort of in these three parts. Verse 1, Lazarus is ill. Verse 2, Mary, and we're told the one who anointed Jesus' feet, this is on the side of wisdom, okay, because she acknowledged the purpose of God. That was a voice of wisdom that she heard, and she acknowledged it by washing the feet of Jesus. Verse 2, the event, Lazarus is ill again. Verse 3, the sisters send to Jesus saying he's ill, expecting him to heal him. That's the voice of the clay. There's no judgment about that voice. There's not saying anything wrong about that voice. It's just the voice of the clay. It's our natural inclination to want to heal, to want things to go right. Verse 4. This illness, the voice of wisdom, Jesus says, is not to death. for God's glory, the Son of Man to be glorified. I will glorify it again. That's the voice of wisdom. This is not to death. He's kind of saying, he's not saying don't worry, but he's saying it's not to death. The event, Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Verse 5, the voice of wisdom. When he heard he was ill, he stayed away. That's not necessarily what you would expect, is it? Because he knew he could not resist the temptation to heal him because he loved him so much. And also because his father told him, this is for my glory. The event. Jesus says, Lazarus is sleeping. I go to wake him up. The clay, verse 12. The apostles. Well, if he's asleep, he'll be recovered. Don't worry about it. Let well enough alone. The voice of wisdom. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there. For two reasons. One, because he may have succumbed to the clay voices to heal him. But now, because I stay away, for the glory of God, you can believe. Well, let's go. We can die with him. Thomas, the voice of the clay. The event. In the tomb, 4 days. Many come to console Mary and Martha. Event. Martha meets Jesus. The voice of wisdom. Whatever you ask from God, God will give you. The voice of the clay. Her voice. Martha's voice. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. You could have prevented this, Jesus. How many times do we hear that? God could have prevented this. Jesus' voice of wisdom, your brother will rise again. Martha's voice of wisdom, I know he will rise at the resurrection. At the last day, the voice of wisdom of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in me and lives in me will never die. Do you believe? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. All the voices of wisdom. The event. Martha calls Mary. The teacher is here and is calling for you. She runs and quickly goes to Jesus, falls at his feet. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Again, the voices of the clay. You could have prevented this. You have the power. The event. Mary leaves her house, and fellow Jews follow her, thinking she's going to the womb to weep. And now we come to an event, a part of this scene, which I think is so critical, and where I think the Father is stepping in, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, is stepping in to teach his Son something so beautiful and so dramatic that helps him in what he has to face in the near future. Okay? Where have you laid him? Lord, come and see. Jesus sees Mary weeping, people weeping, deeply moved. His spirit is troubled. He's deeply moved. He comes to a garden where the tomb probably is. We think of the garden in creation, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the voices of the clay. And here's the tying event. Jesus wept, Jesus wept, Jesus wept. The reaction? See how he loved him. Here's a microcosm of the cross. The Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the cross. He saved others. Couldn't he save himself? Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Let this cup pass from me, the voices of the clay were saying to Jesus, his own voice. No, not my will, but thy will be done. Deeply moved again, the voices of wisdom. He came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. There's the picture. But here, it's Lazarus inside. He's outside. But he's going to see that picture. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Jesus is in the inside of that cave now. It's coming. He knows that. The only thing that's going to be calling him out is his father. His father's voice. Now he has to speak the voice. He's deeply moved. I think because he knows it's going to be coming to him. Jesus said, take away the stone. Here's the voice of the clay. Martha, dear, dear Martha. By this time, there will be an odor. He's been there 4 days. I think it's significant that he's there 4 days, and it mentions it several times. If this person that has been there 4 days and whose body has begun to decay can be raised, then I can raise you, my son, in 3 days before your body sees corruption. Did I not tell you, the voice of wisdom, Jesus says, that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Take away the stone. They took it away. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but I have said this on account of the people standing by, that they might believe that thou didst send me. But it was also because it was his small picture of what he was going to be facing. And when he said this with a loud cry and a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with bandages and his face wrapped in a cloth. How does that happen? How does a man who's got his feet and hands bound and his face wrapped in a cloth come out? The dead man came out. Unbind him and let him go. That's when life came in. The voices of wisdom. Many believed. The event. Many believed. The voices of the clay. Some went to the Pharisees and they had a council. And Caiaphas speaks, and I believe that Judas was there. There among them. Here's the voice of wisdom from Caiaphas, of all places. Verse 50. You know nothing at all. You do not understand that this is expedient for you, that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should die. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. This was seen almost as the returning of the children of Israel back to the land. It was prophetic word. Not of his own accord, he said this. From that day on, they took counsel how to put him to death. The voices of the clay, get rid of the trouble. The voice of wisdom cannot be thwarted, even by Caiaphas. We have Caiaphas, the vessel of wrath, for good in his prophecy. We heard all the voices of the clay, but the one that stood out was the one that sounded like the voices of the clay which was on the cross. If you can save yourself as the Son, he saved others, he cannot save himself. And also the voices, if you had been here, Lord, Lazarus would not have died. Jesus' own clay voice, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, the voice of wisdom prevailed. Not my will, but thy will be done. The voice in the garden, eat. Do your will, and you will be God and not die. Consider one more. Clay, predetermined character, Judas. Called by Jesus, the son of perdition. The one considered lost by Jesus, the one who thought he tried to undo what he did but could not. Certainly this person could make a case for unfairness and injustice. While the chief priests plotted against Jesus, when Judas felt he had no hope, he committed suicide in the potter's field. The potter's field. That's where all the clay shards of the potter got thrown in that were not used anymore. The potter's field is where all the unfinished broken pieces of clay and vessels are thrown as a scrap heap to just become dust. But wait, I don't want to end on that note, on the voices of the clay who bemoan their condition and blame God, rather than hear the voice of wisdom and truth. And by the way, we do have evidence that it was Judas who bought that field. It says so. But consider for a moment Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me. Now 5 through 10. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I'm only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Consider the recipe for the vessel of, hang on just a second here. In order for an individual to be a vessel in the hand of the Father, he must become malleable through repentance and change, be conformed to Christ by adding water the water of the word. Consider the recipe of those who are going to be in the potter's field. The word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? I said, I see a rod of almond. And then the Lord said to me, you've been seen well. I'm watching over my word to perform it. Then the word of the Lord said to me, second time facing you, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north shall evil shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the Lord. And calling the tribes of the kingdoms of the north. Am I not getting the right scripture here? Okay, hang on. My mistake, I think. I'm in the wrong place. I'm in Jeremiah, but it's not the right chapter. It's the chapter that he talks about the clay and the potter. 18. Thank you, Dad. There it is. Thank you. I'm sorry. Okay. Backtrack. Rewind. Okay. 18. We'll start with verse 1 again. The Lord came to Jeremiah, arise and go to the potter's house, and there I'll let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Okay, so just think about that for a moment. Okay, he didn't immediately throw it away. He reworked it. And that's where my point about the malleability came into being. Okay, God can rework us. He doesn't just throw us away right away. He reworks us. He keeps working with us for a long time. And if we become malleable, again, through repentance and change, through the water of the word, be conformed to Christ, then we can become vessels for either menial use or noble use. And it really doesn't matter whether you're washing somebody's feet, or you're up here talking, or you're down there working in the kitchen, or whatever you're doing. Whatever use it is, it's for the work of the Lord and the service of the brethren. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter has done, says the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will repent of the evil that I intended to do to it. There's a change there. If they become malleable, if they allow me to work with them and don't insist on being their own person without God in their lives, then I can work. I can change. I can change the evil that would come upon them. But, he says, conversely, if any time I declare concerning a nation kingdom, I will build it up and plant it. And if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I'll repent of the good which I intended to do with it. Now therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Judah, thus says the Lord, I'm shaping evil against you, devising a plan against you. Return, everyone, from his evil way, and amend your ways and your doings. But you will say, that is in vain. We will follow our own plans, and will everyone act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Well, you get that kind of response, you're not going to be shaped into anything except your own evil heart. And you know what's amazing? Sometimes the Father allows that to happen. And sometimes those paths cross. And those who are trying to follow the will of God and who are trying to make a change are hurt by it and suffer from it. But it's all because the Father continues to try to allow people to hear his voice. There's no one person, even Judas, that did not have the choice to be malleable in the water of the word. Now, the scripture that I just got from John, which is Colossians 3, 5 through 8. Let's look at that for a moment, and then we're going to end with Timothy. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you lived in them. But now put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk in your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing you've put all the old nature off and put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Here there cannot be Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. See, we all once were from this nature of clay. But you do have to recognize that for some people, for some of us, we do have to give up something that the world says we have the right to have. For some of us, marriage is not an option. For some of us, certain sexual relations are not an option, because that's the Father's will. And for those individuals, they have to make the choice that says, I do hear the Father's voice in this matter, and I want to try to follow that voice. But it's not going to be easy for them. Not going to be easy for them at all. It will be a struggle. That's where we have to come in and support them with love and kindness, with embracing, with affection. Because he's making, you see, the clay that he's making, the pot that he's making, does have all of those wonderful qualities of who we are as human beings, plus with his wonderful grace and kindness and mercy infused in us through his Lord, through his beloved Son, which tempers us. It's the glaze and the temper that makes us now faithful, hardened to the world's evil, and yet faithful and gracious and merciful to those around us. Let's go to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll conclude here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 21 to start with. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earthenware, some for noble use, some for ignoble. If one purifies himself from what is ignoble, then he'll be a vessel for noble use, consecrated and useful to the master of the house, ready for any good work. So shun youthful passions, aim at righteousness, faith, and love, peace, along with those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with senseless controversies. You know they only breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, forbearing, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, and they may escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will, to listen to the will of the voice of the flesh. So if you consider for yourself a moment being the hands of the Father that's helping to mold in that person that you're talking to, in that neighbor or the friend that you're talking to, whoever they may be, and whatever their past may be, and if you are the hands of your Father, of the loving Father, and you are being used by the Father to help mold this individual in a way that preserves them, their dignity, their character, and yet now is tempered with the gracious word and love of the Lord Jesus Christ and his beloved Father, and all that goes with that, all of this, all of the words here, everything of the law, everything of the promises, you will have done the work of the great potter. Which voice will we hear? And which voice will we let others hear?